This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
You know, it occurred to me when Brent was singing that we need to drink our food every day. Some of you said amen. All you Juice Plus people out there say, okay. I'm just trying to build your business for you. I'm trying to be a blessing. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to continue this chapter. In fact, we're going to finish this chapter today. But I want you to understand that we are beginning a new section in Mark's gospel. So we're finishing chapter 4. We're beginning a new section. We're leaving the parables behind for a season. And we're going into four stories. Four stories that will focus on Jesus as a miracle worker. Right? Each one of these stories, important here, will call for a judgment from the witnesses of this miracle. They must make a choice. And that's true for them. It's true for us. We have to make choices every day whether we are going to believe God's word, whether we're going to believe the Lord's power. You know, in the first story, the disciples are going to have to choose between faith and fear. We face that choice every single day, don't we? Not faith for salvation, but faith for grace, faith for power, faith to carry on, faith to believe. In the second story, when Jesus delivers the man called Legion, we'll look at that, Lord willing, next week. Those who witness this miracle have to choose between acceptance of Jesus or rejection of him. And those who know the story know how they chose. In the third and fourth stories, two in one, Jairus, daughter who's dying, and the woman with the issue of blood. Those two stories happen in the same text. Well, they both have to choose between faith and despair. Not just faith and fear, but faith and despair, which is the absolute throwing ourselves completely on the mercy of our own strength and the strength of man. And despair is never a good choice. Well, after that, Jesus is going to go to Nazareth. And you remember that story. His hometown has to choose between belief and disbelief. And they say, how are such mighty works done by his hands? And then they go on to say, isn't he the carpenter? Right? And isn't his mother Mary? And aren't these his siblings? And they name his brothers and sisters. Well, they choose poorly. And it says, and he, Jesus, marveled at their unbelief. May God not have to marvel at our unbelief. So who then is this? The title of the sermon, who then is this? That's the question the disciples ask after Jesus commands the wind and the sea. And it's a recurring question in Mark's gospel. And it's the critical question for our lives. Listen, the critical question for our lives is not, what is this pandemic? Or what is this striving for racial unity? The critical question is, okay, Jesus, who are you? Because we know if you're not Lord over all, you're not Lord at all, so we need to ask the question, we need to have an answer. Who then is this? Well, let's read this first story, because Mark's going to invite us over these four stories to see Jesus is the Messiah. Answer the question, oh, he's the Messiah, he's God's son, he's the king who rules over nations, over demons, over disease, over nature itself, and over death. Jesus is Lord. Let's read this story. I'm going to discuss it under 3 points to kind of make a sentence. Hello, Jesus leads, that's the first point, into the storm, second point, and into faith. Third point, John 4:35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. First point Jesus leads, first few verses here, we'll notice this. Notice that Jesus initiated the crossing. He said, let us go across to the other side. And although they didn't know it, I believe Jesus knew it. The one who is Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, I believe that he knew they were headed into a great storm. In fact, the Bible says the word here is a great windstorm. And in the Greek, it's the word that can be translated hurricane, right? Mark calls it and uses the word that can mean hurricane because the Sea of Galilee, as some of you know, is 700 feet below sea level. On the northeast side is Mount Hermon. It rises 9,200 feet above sea level. Do the math. That's 9,900 feet difference. So the warm air coming off the Sea of Galilee and the cold air coming down from the mountain of Mount Hermon collides and causes tempestuous storms that can come up in an instant. Do you think Jesus knew that storm was coming? I believe with all my heart that he did. Now, we're not told that in the text. We're not told that in the text, but I believe he did. Why? Because Jesus, here's the point. Jesus, listen, saints, often leads us into storms. We're also quite capable of getting into storms all by ourselves, aren't we? Everybody nod. We can get into storms because of our flesh, because of our sin, because of our evil desires. But Jesus also is the one who leads us, as we see here, he leads us into storms. Listen, the point here is that Jesus did not protect his disciples from every little boo-boo that might come their way. We tend to want to do that sometimes with our children. We tend to want to do that with ourselves. Jesus didn't do that with the disciples. He doesn't do that with us. He leads us into trials. He leads us into tribulation. He did not solve their problems ahead of time. He led them there for a purpose. He leads us there for a purpose. You know, maybe Peter was thinking about this. I think probably he had other things in mind. But when Peter said in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 14, he said, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. I think he was probably talking about Nero's persecution there, fiery trials. But it also applies here. Don't be surprised when you are led into a storm. It's not strange, but rejoice, he goes on to say, verse 13, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you also may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So Jesus leads. Question is, saints, listen, what storm are you in right now? And are you there because of your sin, because of your lack of faith, because of your anger, because of your reaction to what's going on in the world, your knee-jerk reaction sometimes? Or are you in a storm because Jesus has led us into one? Well, he leads them into the storm. That's the next point, verses 37 and 38. You know, there's been a lot written over the years comparing this story to the story of Jonah. Now, it's not a perfect analogy by any means, is it? But Jonah went, remember, Jonah went down. He was running, so he went down into the boat and down into the belly of the boat and down into sleep, right? He was trying to get as far away from God's call on his life as possible. And here we have Jesus also sleeping in a boat. It's ironic that the only place in the Gospels that we ever see Jesus asleep is in a storm. You think Jesus slept? Yeah, he was human. He had to sleep just like we do. But the only time the scripture records him sleeping is in a storm. Why? Because it's a beautiful picture of Jesus completely at rest in his Father's hands. You know, the difference between Jonah and Jesus is very simple. Jonah's sleep probably was fitful because he was running from God. Jesus' sleep was absolutely peaceful. He was absolutely out. They had to wake him up during the storm because he was resting in God. Oh, saints, so important. We can't run from God and be at peace. We can't run from the Word and what it clearly says and be at peace. But we can be in God and know peace, K-N-O-W, when we trust Him. I like that verse in Isaiah. he wrote 700 years earlier. And we see it perfectly displayed in Jesus. Listen to the verses, Isaiah 26:3. Put it on the screen there. You, God, keep him, Jesus in this case, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Great memory verse. Great verse to live by. Great verse for a storm. Great verse for anything that we go through that is not fun and pleasant. You keep him in perfect peace. His mind is steady. Peace is not dependent on the absence of a storm. Peace is dependent absolutely on the presence of faith in God who put us in the storm. And God who will take us through it. You know, these disciples were tough men. We know there were several of them were fishermen. They were accustomed to the challenges of a tempestuous sea. But at this moment in their lives, they are beside themselves with fear. And we can't blame them, can we? The waves were breaking into the boat. Now just imagine that they were several miles in and they were in the middle of the lake. We don't know. And the boat was filling. And we know there were more than one boat. Other boats were with them, the text says. I think if Jesus had not been there, and these guys know this, had Jesus had not been there, they would have died. They would have drowned. There was no hope. That's why they were absolutely paralyzed by fear at this storm, because it was that kind of life-changing, life-ending event. They're soaked to the bone. They're trying to bail water as fast as they can to no avail. The boat's filling up, and they look and see Jesus sound asleep. Right? And what do they say? They cannot believe it. They awaken him with a rebuke. Look, don't sugarcoat this. This is a rebuke. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They could have said, Jesus, what is wrong with you? How can you sleep when our lives are at stake? You know, it's interesting. Matthew and Luke kind of soften this a little. They say that it was either a prayer or a cry for help, but not Mark. And many believe that Mark gets it right here, that Mark is giving us the verbatim. In fact, I like what James Edwards writes. He says the rudeness of Mark's wording reflects the way frustrated and desperate people speak. Frustrated people, like Martha. Remember Martha, the sister of Mary? She said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Frustrated people. And then desperate people like the disciples. Lord, do you not care that we're about to die? In fact, we are dying here. You know, the humility of the Lord is demonstrated in a powerful way here that he tolerated the rebuke. He tolerated the rebuke. Why? He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. Two things to consider here. First, when we are in the middle of a storm, we must be aware that our tendency in our flesh is to accuse God of not caring about us. Think about the last time you were in a desperate situation. Did you think or even pray out loud, Lord, what are you doing? What is going on? Don't you care? I thought you loved me. I heard a quote this week. I love it. It says, someone said, the only exercise that some people get is jumping to conclusions. Running down their friends, sidestepping their responsibilities, and pushing their luck. If you can't say, oh, amen, say, oh, me. Desperate people, the humility of the Lord. Our tendency is to accuse God of not caring for us. The fact that Jesus was in the boat with them, the fact that Jesus was in the world with them, the fact that Jesus was on his way to the cross for them is proof positive. All we ever need. Close the books. It's over. Jesus cares about us. And everybody said, he cares about us. But in our flesh, in a trial, when the storms come up, we're quick to doubt his love, to doubt his care, to doubt his compassion. What do we need to do? Remember we talked about this last week. James talks about this. Establish your hearts. We need to ask God to help us to establish our hearts so that when we're in the storm, we don't accuse God. we throw ourselves upon His mercy. Never forget in the darkness, as somebody said, what you learned in the light. Never forget in the darkness. Never forget in the storm. Never forget in the trial what you learned in the time when you were not in the middle of a storm. Second, when we go through a storm, we're often quick to forget what God has said to us. And saints, listen, how did this trip across the sea start? What happened? Jesus said, look at the text. Jesus said, let us go across to the other side. Isn't that great? He didn't say, hey guys, let's see if we can make it across. I'm kind of doubting it. You know, it's a dicey. There's a big one coming. Let's see. I mean, this will be fun, right? It's like Survivor. Let's see if we can make it, right? And maybe a couple of us will. Who knows? No, he didn't say, well, this is probably it, boys. I knew this day was coming, and I've really enjoyed this time. No, come on. He said, let us go across to the other side. Jesus' word to them was clear. We're going over there. We can't see the other side. It's several miles there. And yet we're going there. What happened was they had allowed the noise of the storm to drown out the voice of the Lord. You ever do that? We allow the noise of the storm around us, the turmoil, the chatter on social media, whatever, to drown out the word of God. We can do that unless we continue to trust and obey. You know, there wasn't a single time in my memory, you can correct me after this sermon is over if you find one, there's not a single time in my memory when Jesus said he was going to do something that he did not go and do it. He said, let's go across to the other side. And you know what, saints? Listen, COVID, racial tension, pandemic, civil unrest, World War III, Jesus has said to his followers, let us go across to the other side. We're going to get through the storm, and we will get through the storm of life to the other side. He takes us into the storm, and finally, he takes us into faith. The last few verses, Jesus took action first to rebuke the storm. First thing he does, he wakes up. He doesn't rebuke the disciples. That's coming. First, he rebukes the storm. And the language he uses is identical to the language he has used already in this book to rebuke demons and deliver those possessed by them. Jesus subdued the powers of darkness and brought order out of chaos in a demoniac. He's going to do it again next week. And Jesus speaks to the wind and the sea, and he rebukes them as if they are living things. Because they are. They're created things, created by God for a purpose. And Jesus speaks to them. In fact, he says the same thing, or the same thing happens that happened in Jonah. That when they threw Jonah into the sea, remember the terrified mariners? It says the sea ceased from its raging. And that's what happens here. And the word that Jesus uses, I know you're not interested in grammar, but sometimes grammar helps us understand the text. It's the perfect passive imperative. Perfect passive imperative, which means Jesus literally said to the sea and the wind, be still and stay that way. You know, you have to wonder if when Jesus gets to the other side, right, he gets out of the boat, he turns back and says, okay, go ahead. You know, do your thing, wind, blow, and sea ripple, that's okay. But he said, don't move. Don't make a move again. Jesus then turns to the disciples and asks a question we must all answer. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Remember, we talked earlier that when Jesus displayed who he is to the disciples, it was so that they may be able to see, hear, understand, and increase in faith. In fact, Edwards says, who Jesus is lays a claim on what his disciples may become. Who Jesus is lays a claim on us. Jesus took them into the storm. He took them through the storm so that he could command the storm, so that it wasn't to show off. It wasn't to say, hey guys, check this out. Watch what I can do. That's what we would do, right? In the flesh. Hey, look world, what I can do. No, it wasn't about the storm. It was about the disciples. It was about their faith. He did it so that he could increase their faith in him. He rebukes the wind and the waves. They obey him. And then he says, why are you so afraid? It was not a rebuke because they were afraid. You know, the misunderstanding here, I think, is we think he said that about their fear before, when they were in the storm. He understood that fear. He wasn't rebuking them because they were afraid that the bottom was falling out. The hurricane was coming or on them. No, he says that after he has calmed the storm, then he looks at them. He says, why are you so afraid? Why? Because it says that they were filled with great fear. Have you still no faith? The word there means for fear, losing heart, or cowardice. Jesus said, in effect, you've accused me of not caring about you. You've witnessed with your own eyes the stilling of the wind and the sea. Has this not taught you, along with all the other things you've seen and heard, that I am the Lord, and I'm the Lord who cares for you deeply and is sovereign over everything in the universe that could ever possibly threaten you? Why are you still so afraid? Why will you not trust me? I think the greatest threat to our fear, saints, is not a lack of knowledge, but choosing to give in to fear and to doubt. The storm was over, but in a way it was just beginning in the hearts of the disciples. Mark says that they were filled with great fear. The terror of the disciples at the majesty and the power and the authority of Jesus is greater than the fear that they had of the storm. We'll see that next week. The fear of those who were terrified of the man in the cemetery who cut himself with stones and no one could bind and was a raging monster filled with a legion of demons. Their fear of him was not as great as their fear of Jesus after Jesus had cast the demons out and legions sitting there fully clothed and in his right mind. What can we take away from this story as we close? We too are called by God every single day to choose between faith and fear. We know we have been rescued from the fear of death by the Lord who conquered death for us. We can say with confidence and faith, Jesus is Lord. But listen, saints, let's be honest. Most of us, all of us in some way, live every single day influenced, if not driven by, if not controlled by, fear. It controls our thoughts from the moment we wake up until the moment we lay our heads on our pillows, and often torments us in our sleep. We're afraid of being ridiculed by the world, so we keep silent about the Lord. We're afraid of the change, so we sit out the pandemic and we sit out the church until everything gets back to what we think of as normal. We're afraid of doing the wrong things, so we do nothing at all. We're afraid of taking a risk and being told you can't do that, so we don't take the risk. We're afraid of failing, so we don't try to do anything where we know we might fail. We're afraid of losing someone we love, so we limit the number of people we love. Don't want to love too many, because I'm going to lose them. We're afraid of being in need, so we don't give. We're afraid of conflict, so we swallow it. We keep everything bottled up inside until we explode, or again, we just leave. Have I covered them all? Probably not. There's a whole bunch more, aren't there? We think of fear as a weakness, but in this passage in Isaiah, it seems to me that the root of our fear is pride. God says, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? He goes on to say, I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. The root of fear sometimes is simply because we want to be in control. And that's pride, saints. That's pride. I know because I'm well acquainted with that sin. This is why Jesus said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Have you no faith? Have you still no faith? What are we to do? Well, let's close with this. Name our fears. Name them. Count your blessings. Yeah, a little song, that's great, but name your fears. Count them one by one. And then ask God to forgive you. Ask all of us, ask God to forgive us of our pride, our refusal to trust him, and thank him that he is the one who comforts us. He is the one who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. He is the one who can make the sea roar and tell it to be still. He is the one who is coming for us and even now is with us in every storm. He is for us. Let's pray. Let's take just a moment. Wind's blowing now, so everybody's cooling off. That's great. Thank you, Lord. As the wind blows, can you just name a few fears in your own mind and be honest with yourself? Lying to yourself is another root of pride, or sin comes from pride. Tell yourself the truth. What are you controlled by that has its root in fear? And now say, Lord, would you help me as you did those disciples? Would you speak to the wind and the waves that are tossing me about to and fro, day by day, and help me to anchor my soul in you, moment by moment. Father, we thank you that we have an anchor, and his name is Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with us always to the end of the age, and at the end of the age, we'll be with you forever. So, Lord, help us as we're facing storms right now in our lives, in our marriage, in our workplace, with our finances, with our children, in our neighborhoods, in our nation, in our world. We're facing storms. We're in the middle of them. Lord, help us to be men and women of faith, to take courage because we know you. Not courage and confidence in our own ability to work this thing out. It's way beyond us. But courage and confidence in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is sovereign. And we pray this in Jesus' name for your sake. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.